Has Otto Hightower overplayed his, wait for it, hand?
Is Prince Damon still a character you love to hate, hate to love, or no longer your favorite character?
Is there a worse Uncle Nee's field trip than going to a brothel?
All those questions and more will be answered on this episode of
The Joffrey Podcast.
I've been very busy. Many important matters require King's attention.
I'm King now. King now.
I am King.
I am
King.
I am
Kiss it.
I am
Kiss it again.
I am
your fingers or your
King.
Doesn't
fingers
discuss
your
battle plans.
He's one,
but your fingers or your tongue.
I am the King. I'm telling Mother.
My name's Bubba, and with me, as always, is
Catfish.
Catfish, we are here breaking down season one, episode four of House of the Dragon, King of the Narrow Sea. What is your rating out of 10 for this fourth episode of season one?
Bubba, I'm going to give this 8 what I like to call quadruple Bs.
Quadruple Bs.
Yeah, that it stands for big-ass breastfeeding baby boys. Holy cow, Allison turned around, and I was like, that is a baby? that thing looked like a monster. Holy cow. There's a lot of stuff going on here. What I like about the princess here in this one is she has decided, and learning from the best, Damon, she's going to give 0 Fs, and she's going to start lying to everybody. You know what I mean? She's not exactly lying when she says that she and Damon didn't do the deed. She is lying when she says Damon didn't touch her. She's also lying when she says she still has her maidenhead. Double C took it and took it well.
She took Double C Kristen Cole's helmet, and that is a euphemism.
She did. She was surprised, though, after she finished undressing him, and then he took off his fake leg.
8 out of 10, that's way higher. You jumped from 6 out of 10 last week to 8, so you like this episode much more.
Well, I think we settled into a time period. I love the stuff that's going on with Viserys this time. I mean, he's calling out Otto, but at the end, if we believe the Maester, the king's like, I believe you, sure, but here, have some tea just to make sure. It'll settle your stomach. So there was cool stuff going on with them.
Yeah.
Damon, we'll talk about him later. I don't know what he was doing in this episode, and I don't know whether... So therefore, I don't know whether he succeeded in what he was trying to do. Seemed like he was just a big old mess.
Okay.
But I enjoyed the stuff that was going on. Finally, we knew Double C, Sir Kristen Cole, was going to get some. He's got it now. We had some funny bits at the beginning. Parade of Saps. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it more than the previous weeks, which again, Bubba, you know, I was with one of our faithful listeners at Revere Terry, hanging out with him. And again, he chided both of us for being down on last week's episode.
Mm. Yeah, we weren't cool. Well, okay, you're up to 8 out of 10. Let's find out about my rating.
Yeah, let's
last week, I also was 6 out of 10. I also didn't have scenes that popped. This week, I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 double T's.
Double T's?
Tasty tea.
Ooh.
That tea, let's be honest, the Supreme Court has outlawed that tea here in the United States, but it's still crackling. It's still interesting. I don't think these characters are really as well developed. I mean, this is such a small cast of characters, really. You've got Otto and his daughter, Allison. You've got the prince, the princess, and his brother, Damon. And the king, Viserys. I mean, that's 5 people. We're really just circling around these 5 people constantly. Yes, the sea snake is out there somewhere. Yes, some other characters are out there. But we are so focused on these 5, and they're not a fun 5. I mean, I've thought Damon was fun before. You know, I don't know. Maybe because he likes going to Vegas and Cirque du Soleil, and I'm like, yeah, I've seen it. Maybe that's why I'm not so down with Damon this week, but... 8 out of 10.
Bubba, years and years ago, we went to Amsterdam, and I offered to take you to a similar show, and you passed. So you know what?
Let me say, yes, if I had known that people would be reporting that I went in to see the show. You know, like if the king would find out that I went to see the show, maybe I would have gone in Amsterdam, but I didn't. 8 out of 10, much higher. It's still not a perfect show. I'm not sure I love any of these characters. I say it as honestly as I can, but I hope listeners, I hope you love it. We love to say, who cares what we think? We want to know what you think. And the way you tell us what you think is to reach out to us on social media. If you're watching this on YouTube, you hit that like button or the dislike button. You go down in the comments and you tell us what you think about episode 4. If you are the other way, if you're not on YouTube, if you're listening to the podcast, hey, please do us a favor. Go to Twitter at double PHQ, the word double, the single letter P for podcast, HQ for headquarters. Instagram at double PHQ, Facebook.com/doublePHQ. Tell us what you thought about this episode. We are on kind of a roller coaster, loving it, hating it, having trouble with it. We want to know what you guys think.
Well, Bubba, you know, it's interesting you talk about, you know, I didn't think about that. You're completely right. We're only getting right now 5 characters, but we're getting a lot with those characters.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't want to, you know, compare too much. We have our buddy Double M is doing a show about a podcast about the Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah.
Show. And it's beautiful. But maybe because there's just so much going on, I don't care. There's so many characters. I was watching the 3rd episode the other night, and I was just like, I don't care.
Well,
so I care about this show. So maybe I was a little too harsh last week. I find it a lot more entertaining and grabbing than plus.
There was a lot of grabbing in the brothel this week.
There's a lot of grabbing. There's zero grabbing in Lord of the Rings. Boring.
Yet. You don't know. We don't know what kind of ring that was. All right. All right. Hey, once again, we care what you guys think. And we also, even though at times we're ridiculously serious, at other times we are ridiculously silly. And Catfish.
Yes.
The way we are ridiculously silly is we play our match games where we, the podcast hosts, try to match with you, the listeners, to win big prizes. Are you ready for the first match game this week?
Bubba, I'm so excited. Of the many, many things you've come up with podcasts, this might be one of my favorites.
All righty. So it's in the, it made the list. All right. Okay. So here's our first match game.
Okay.
Rhaenyra and Daemon are niece and uncle. And in the pleasure den, they had a blank. Rhaenyra and Daemon are niece and uncle. And in the pleasure den, they had a
family affair. Yeah, it's a family affair. That was mine. Oh. That was my singing. Family Affair.
That is so close. I need to find the bell, because my answer, which I wrote here in the show notes, here, give it to me.
All right, Rhaenyra and Daemon are niece and uncle, and in a pleasure den they had a blank.
Family reunion. Oh, so close.
Oh, man.
So close. Okay, now, so let's find out if our listeners matched us, Catfish. Rhaenyra and Daemon are a niece and uncle, and in the pleasure den they had a
double eye inbred incident.
That is so good.
Left legs. Holy cow. Our listeners even better than us.
They're better than us. That's
they know
that
the
hurts.
Double bit better than we do. All right. Rhaenyra and Daemon are niece and uncle. And in the pleasure den, they had a
game of seek and hide.
Oh,
that's what Daemon was doing. He was seeking. Then he went to hide.
Oh, my God. That was before the Dragon Podcast at before the Dragon Pod. All right, Bubba, give me the next one.
Rhaenyra and Daemon are niece and uncle. And in the pleasure den, they had a
drunken disappointment.
that hurts.
Likely Seth, so good.
I know. Seth Dooley's left. Everybody just kills us. This hurts. Okay. Rhaenyra and Daemon are niece and uncle, and in the pleasure den, they had a double T.
Double T?
Targaryen tango.
Oh, so good. Tory Hunter.
Terrible. Tory. Oh. Okay, we got a couple more. This is incredible. Rhaenyra and Daemon are niece and uncle, in the pleasure den, they had a
double I.
Wait, double I again?
Interrupted incest.
Oh, okay. That counts as a match.
Matching to Dooley?
Yeah, who gave that answer?
Dooley, inbred incident. This was Nick Fortuna at Nicholas Fortuna. All right, Bubba, we got one more. Rhaenyra and Daemon, her niece and uncle, and in the Pleasure Den, they had a
free trial for HBO Max.
Are you sure it wasn't Cinemax?
Yeah, it was Cinemax After Dark.
That's great, though. Corey Bramlett at TCBPOV. So good. Thank you very much. That is amazing.
We're going to be reading your answers throughout all these podcasts, including your answers from last week. And that is amazing. This is truly, truly amazing. These are five characters we seemingly are focused in on. I didn't mention Double C Kristen Cole. He would be six if we kind of include him. But we always talk about the strongest scene or weakest scene in an episode. We both gave this 8 out of 10. We're kind of in sync on how we see these episodes. So let's talk about it. Or what was your favorite scene in this episode, King of the Narrow Sea?
My favorite episode, I think, was when Rhaenyra was totally abusing her just recently rekindled friendship with Alicent to get a message to the king. We see Alicent here. It's interesting because, you know, we've been talking about whose side is Alicent on, and in this episode, she comes to Rhaenyra's defense. Then she does some smack talk about the incest. But then she goes back to the king. She sows some doubt with the king. I mean, and all why? Because Rhaenyra's like, how dare I be accused of such horrible activities? That's shocking. Shocking. So I think that one, to me, was my favorite. I think my second favorite, once again, Rhaenyra and Viserys, when she's like, all right, fine, I'm going to do what I need to do, but I'm going to need a little tit for tat here. Also, gots to go.
Well, you just named what I thought was the strongest scene of the whole episode, kind of because it's funny. I keep mentioning there are really only five characters. Sorry, Kristen Cole. I'll leave you off to the side for a bit. It feels like there are really only five. Right, Kristen Cole. Sorry, I'm kicking you to the curb. Right. But they have these moments with Otto where it's like when Otto's by himself, like, oh, should I tell the king this? Am I supposed to read that scene as Otto is having some doubt about maybe I shouldn't tell the king or I got to steel myself up to tell the king? And I thought his firing was a real strong scene. And I know we're going to debate this in our small council debate later. But, you know, I'll ask you, listeners, go ahead and tell us, is what Otto did wrong? He did report the truth, and maybe that firing, I loved it so much because of you, kind of the boulder that rolled. How about this, Catfish?
It's super interesting just because, like, we have suspected Otto, I mean, fully, because Otto sicked his daughter on the king. And the king says in another scene, you know, he says to Rhaenyra, yes, everyone is self-interested. There's not one person here who's around me who's not self-interested. And that was really fascinating. So Otto is self-interested, but Otto hasn't learned the lesson of this show.
Ooh, Bubba. Ooh, what's that?
One overriding lesson of House of the Dragon. And
let's
that
hear
is
it.
Never deliver bad news.
Right. Any bad news, give it to Lord Beesbury. Give it to the Maester. Anybody else, bad news. That's a great point.
Send the kid in.
Aegon, go in there.
Yeah.
Well, but like everything about this, I found fascinating. Like, didn't you find it fascinating that the person who really is responsible for Otto finding out about this is Mysyria? She's totally stabbing Daemon in the back. She's like, you know, yeah, I was your prisoner, I guess, for a bit. But guess what? I'm free. F you. Wow. That was great to find out.
That was great. And I'm so glad that I had the captions on. So I could understand what she was saying.
I'm not the
only one. Thank God. I've got support on her accent.
Okay.
We see what's happened here. You know, the last time we saw her leave, she was like his consort. She was important.
Oh, yeah.
He took her with him.
Yep.
And we thought there was going to be all those things. Plus, she's a well-known actress. So it's like you think she's going to be important. And then he treats her like garbage. So obviously, he's not been treating her well for a while. So she gets hers. I hope she got enough. I doubt she could get enough for this. But
for this information, yeah. I doubt she did, too.
So who then, because I agree, that's kind of what I interpreted happened. who is willing to pay that much money for this information? If it's Otto, then we have to assume that he's a little bit more nefarious than we even think.
He has his own little bird network, or he has his own spies. Should we assume, like in the original Game of Thrones series, that all of these people have their own spies? Does Lord Corlys, the Sea Snake, who we didn't really see in this episode, does he have spies in King's Landing? So I think that's a question we're supposed to be asking.
In other words, is she making enough? I mean, the thing is, nobody baited them into it.
No, not at all.
There, it was a little, it was, I mean, what was reported was a little bit more than what actually happened. Although
right.
not more than what Rhaenyra would have wanted to happen. You know, she was a DTI down to incest. You know.
And, okay.
You know. Well, go ahead.
Well, all right. This is in our small council debate, but let's have a little debate, a teeny debate right now.
Okay.
Do you think that Rhaenyra would, like, if she had her choice between the two, would she rather have her uncle or Kristen Cole? What do you think? Because I'll go ahead and answer myself.
Yeah.
It seemed like Kristen Cole was a fallback fool around.
Kristen Cole was like a replacement. She got all riled up.
Exactly right.
Yeah, and then she was ready to rock. I mean,
Are you more attracted to the bad boy, like Daemon, or quote unquote, I guess the good guy, Kristen Cole?
I think at that point she would prefer Daemon, mm-hmm. but I think Daemon opening up her eyes to, like, you can do whatever you want.
Right.
I mean, the thing is, she really does not want, you know, she makes it very clear here and painfully clear to Alicent, like, I don't want to be a queen and just stuck at home and, like, being a broodmare.
Stone cold. I loved it.
Oh, and nice contrast there between all the, like, hot action going on there and what's happening with Alicent and Viserys.
Yeah, I mean, it was, how about Alicent has that kind of far away look on her face, and then she can kind of tell the king's looking at her, and she puts on a smile. Oh, man.
So horrible. What's even worse than that is, you imagine, like, then when you see them lying next to each other and he's lying on his stomach, he's still got, like, all those sores and, like, rotting skin on his back.
That's hot. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know what? Let's talk about that briefly, some of these stone cold things where Rhaenyra was like, I don't want to be imprisoned in a castle and made to squeeze out heirs. Ooh, you told it so stone cold.
Mm-hmm. And that was her making friends again with Alicent. I mean, damn.
How about this? We had a bit of, was it The Voice? Was it The Choice? Did we have an episode of The Bachelorette in this episode to begin with, where Rhaenyra is just shutting down suitors left and right, stone cold?
Oh, man. Yeah. Again, she makes it clear that she's just not really interested in anybody. And now I think she likes her KGWB.
KGWB.
Yeah, Kingsguard with benefits. That she wants.
We might
that.
Have to have a poll about that. Do you want Rhaenyra to be DTI or
KGWB?
KGWB. All right, I'm going to write that down.
So she makes it clear. I mean, even though these are not great choices, right? One guy. So funny. hold on. Let me get some more water before I plead my case. And she zings him with the 50-year thing. And then the next one that shows up. These are not adequate people for her hand. But the point is, it doesn't matter who it would be. She does not want to be seen as the one who has to produce heirs. She wants to be the power.
Let me ask you something, Catfish.
Talk to me.
Because of all the requirements of the monarchy and the crown, why does she even want to be the ruler? Like, literally, if she wasn't the heir, she would have a lot more freedom. You know what I mean? Like, why doesn't she at this point just say, Dad, give it to my younger brother, Aegon? right?
That's a great point. That's a great point. And even though I have been on her side in this, mm-hmm. you know, he does make it clear to her, like, look, you know, I've given you this great burden. We're the ones who are, you're the prince who was promised
right.
more. Let's do some more attachments to Game of Thrones. So to do that, we need to continue on. And to continue on in a peaceful manner, you, if you're going to rule, you need to have some kids. Otherwise, it's going to be a disaster.
This is so hard. You want everything, but not the responsibilities that kind of come with it. And so I think she's got to bounce. I think she's got to find a way to say, okay, you know, you got me. I'm out.
Well, that is, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, you know, again, before we talked about it, I've kind of been on her side, but I'm more thinking like, look, okay. This is just the fact of the situation. If you are the king, then yes, you're not the one who has to squeeze out the babies. But if you're a queen and the lines are going to go through you, you got to have kids. Otherwise, it's going to go to someone else.
Listeners, what do you guys think? Should Rhaenyra just say, I don't want it? Because so much of it, she doesn't really want to do. Let us know at DoublePHQ on Twitter and Instagram, YouTube. Give us those comments. We love your talk. And because we love you guys so much, let's get to it. You ready for another match game, Catfish?
Oh, my goodness. I am so freaking thrilled. Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
All right. The name of the play that Daemon and Rhaenyra watch is called The Throne Blank.
Boom, 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 boom. Come up with your answers, listeners. The name of the play that Daemon and Rhaenyra watch is called The Throne Blanks. All right, you got an answer, Catfish? I got one. You ready?
Okay, yeah, let's hear yours. Hold on. I will give you the intro.
All right.
Here we go. All right, the name of the play that Daemon and Rhaenyra watch is called The Throne.
That Bones. adult content here on the Joffrey Podcast. Complete silliness.
All right, Bob, I'm ready with my answer.
You ready? You ready? The name of the play that Daemon and Rhaenyra watch is called The Throne.
And the Four Cocks. Just because all the people who are performing.
I know. Hey, that's a time period accurate in this fantasy show, which doesn't
have period accurate. But also, they were very focused on, there was a lot of what I like to call double P.
Wait, double P?
Yeah, penis play.
there was in
this performance. So that's what I thought was the appropriate one. All right, let's see, Bubba. I will read it out and we'll listen to some of our listeners. Let's see if we get a match.
Let's see if we get a match.
The play that Daemon and Rhaenyra watch is called The Throne.
Done Gone. What is that a parody of? That's pretty funny.
I love it. That is Corey Bramblett at TCBPOV. I love it.
Right. Okay. The name of the play that Daemon and Rhaenyra watch is called The Throne
of Fiery Flatulence.
Oh, hey, here we go again.
I love it. Nick Fortuna at Nicholas Fortuna. So good. All right. Here we go. The name of the play that Daemon and Rhaenyra watch is called The Throne.
Cold Truth.
Like the Stone Cold Truth.
That's pretty good. That's Tori Hunter at Mando Tori.
I love it. I love it. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Bubba.
There's one more. Okay. And then there's a comment. But the name of the play that Daemon and Rhaenyra watch is called The Throne.
Is the place where all the shit goes in. That is at Before the Dragon Pod.
Yay. All right.
All right, but you know what? Yes, Before the Dragon Podcast said it's just a fancy name for a toilet. That kind of feels like those two matched.
That does.
At
okay.
Before the Dragon Pod.
I want to say Nicole, our good friend Nicole, who's at NightwolfNim on Twitter, just wanted to say that this play reminded her of Arya watching the play in Braavos from the original show. I completely agree, Nicole. I think you definitely have those flashbacks.
I love it. I love it. That is absolutely true.
So we talked about the best scenes or scenes we liked. Once again, listeners, tell us the scenes you like. Let's talk about the characters in this episode. And do you want to talk about, I keep mentioning these five, but let's go to the sixth, what I call the sixth, Criston Cole. Was he like his bedroom entrance and everything that happened in there, was he conflicted because he's taken this vow and he's going to be a Kingsguard member and he shouldn't be doing this? Was he conflicted because this is the princess, this is the person I'm supposed to be guarding? Or was he not conflicted? I had a big question on what I should be taking his, the way he was acting was. I assumed he was a bit conflicted. What did you think when Kristen Cole got into the bedroom and became a KGWB?
Well, I would say, you know who was even more conflicted was Ms. Catfish, who was like, this would bother me less if this actress didn't look like she was 12 years old.
Right. The actress is at least currently 22, so she was 22. Probably 21 when they filmed this. But yeah, she is very young looking. So
she's young, young. And I said to her, why didn't it bother you when she was DTI? And she was like, it did bother me then. I just didn't.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, fine.
So what do you think about Kristen Cole? What's going through his head, would you imagine? He must like her. She's cute. One? She's smart.
He has got the big one. The big head is saying, the big head is saying this, I'm not supposed to be doing this, but also she's the one who raised me up. I've been touring around with her.
Yep.
She's a hottie.
Yep.
So he's got pros and cons with the big head, but still more pros. And then the little head is all pros. No cons.
Could he have refused her? I mean, she is the ruler. She is going to be the queen ruling everybody. Was this in any way coerced?
You know, that is a great question. Was he Triple C coerced, Kristen Cole? there is sexism around this, and sexism that I share, where it's just like, you know, that wasn't the first thing that I thought of, mostly because it feels like they've been eyeing each other for like almost 4 years now.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel like it, but my question to you is, how much trouble do you think this is going to cause?
Right. He didn't lose his job for the princess being able to sneak out of the castle unguarded.
Well, he's smarter about the way they're going to have to act than she is. He comes to her again and she's like, oh, great. And he's like, oh, no, this is business. So I got to be businessy here.
How about this? Because I've read the book, I don't want to make any predictions, false or true. But what do you think is going to happen?
She's going to keep the KGWB until they get outed. And then it's going to be once again, Triple C, castrated Kristen.
All right, let's talk about some other characters.
Okay.
And now let's jump to Prince Damon. One thing that I think you mentioned when you were giving your rating is, what was Damon's kind of plan here? What was his goal? He comes back, he's wearing the crown. He seemingly comes into the throne room and says all the right things. Yeah, they call me King of the Narrow Sea, but I know there's only one real king, big bro. What was his aim here, Catfish?
I feel like we might. Okay, I'll try to be very careful to stay away from the small council.
Small council, questions. Right.
I'll stay away from that. I will say here, thinking about it right after as we do this, I was a little confused.
Right.
If this was his plan all along to get wedded to Rhaenyra, why does he then pull away?
You say brothel so bizarrely. I remember this from the original Joffrey of podcast
Did
on
I
Game of Thrones.
Brothel?
You say brothel.
Brothel.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, what's going through his head? Was, you know, is he just in the heart of the, you know, is he in the heat of the passion or whatever?
Well, no. It feels like it feels like. That at that point, like he had, I mean, at first I thought, and this is horrible. First I thought that he was just didn't like it when she was aggressive. He didn't like that. But then I thought maybe he kind of has a conscience. Mm-hmm. Either way, like, he's a cock blocker. And that was surprising. He comes back. He gives up his thrones.
Right.
He gives up his crown.
Sure.
His kingdom of the narrow sea. And then he takes Rhaenyra, shows her what life can be like, and then only partially commits, and then just gets drunk and is a mess.
Did you have any thought that when he pitches the idea, hey, name Rhaenyra as, you know, my bride-to-be, did you think, oh, maybe he'll do this? What'd you think?
Well, at this point, it seems to me that would actually be Viserys's best plan to strengthen what's going on, unless he thinks Daemon is going to totally subvert any power that Rhaenyra has.
Right.
Viserys says, and this was one of my favorite lines of the episode, was when Rhaenyra says, you want to marry me off to get rid of your political problems? And he's like, you are my political problem. So if he was thinking more clearly,
yeah,
this would be, I think, a smart way to solidify the power of his lineage.
Based on everything we saw before, and even the staging of that scene, which I think is also another good scene, where the Kingsguard bring Daemon into the throne room and then everybody leaves. To me, that's you're about to get dressed down. And so I could see no way where the king would agree to this match. I think you're right. I think it does make a bit of logical sense about this brother. He's always causing me trouble. There is going to be, and let's say, does King Viserys realize that there is this sexism in the realm to where if they have a female heir, a female ruler, there will be, you know, anarchy and craziness. And so it's not the worst idea to say, hey, okay, let's do it. Let's just hook up my brother with my daughter and just get this over with.
I agree.
But because of the way that he went into the throne room, I never once considered that a real option.
Well, yes, it's hard to plead your case when you're a drunken shambles lying on the floor. Like, this is going to fix everything. I'll be completely fine. But if that was truly his plan, it feels to me like he could have tried to pitch it to Viserys in another way.
No, you've got a great point. And so Daemon, when he's talking, well, why are you home? Do you want family comforts? He doesn't want family comforts. Guess what he also doesn't want to do? He doesn't want to look at the tapestries. Why are you here?
I mean, you know what? There have been some new tapestries.
Right.
There might be one you like. There might be a tapestry called Buddies at the Brothel. One called Daemon's Speech, where over his shoulder there's a guy stopped mid-stroke looking at him adoringly.
Right, that'd make a great tapestry. The final character I want to talk about, you can pitch some that you want to speak on initially, but Alicent. What is going on with Alicent? Is that she's so lonely because now she's queen and everybody does look at her differently, that she is trying to reach on to the best friend she ever had in Rhaenyra. In once again, in all these episodes, even though she went and got busy with the king and became the queen and all these things, a lot of times she is really looking out for Rhaenyra's best interest. And twice in this episode, we saw her looking out for Rhaenyra's best interest. She didn't have to give her the 411. Hey, your dad heard about this. You got to do something.
She didn't have to try to convince the king that even if Daemon admitted to it, that it was true.
Exactly.
She does it to the detriment of herself. And she seems like a smart person, but you don't have to be like, it's what we talked about with Otto Hightower, where, okay, so he's got some designs on the throne, but he is kind of looking out for Viserys when he tells him this information. But Alicent's not looking out for herself at all.
At all.
If she had 1 minute to think, like, what's going to be best for me? But I think you're right. It's just that she is desperate to have a friend, although it is strange to, when you're kind of trying to talk to and warn your friend, to point out some of, basically, to slam their positions. Why are you eating haggis all the time? It's grotesque. I'll still be your friend. Just stop eating haggis.
Oh, without. So tough.
All right, how about this? This was the first episode where Viserys wasn't as big a player as he usually is. Any thoughts on the king? Has he done anything right? We're always talking about how he's not good at being a king. Did he at least kind of do this right?
I thought it was interesting when he's like, listen, what he does wrong is basically, treat Otto Hightower. He kind of treats him like crap. I guess if you're king, you can just yell at people all the time and accuse them of trying to usurp you. But it feels to me like you should kind of keep that close to your vest and then bump them off if you think they're trying to usurp you. Right? This is the way that Joffrey would do it.
Heck yeah.
He would just, have them drawn and quartered.
Well, okay. Since we're talking about characters, let's have the final thing of this discussion of House of the Dragon characters. Has any character come close to doing something Joffrey-like in these first four episodes, or replacing Joffrey as the greatest fictional character ever?
No, Daemon had his chance.
Wait, in this episode?
In this episode, yes. He could have magnificently taken his own niece as a queen in a brothel.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
And that would be Joffrey-licious.
I would point out that by the fourth episode of Game of Thrones, by the second episode of Game of Thrones, Joffrey had already taken care of the series' biggest villain, the Butcher's Boy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's no Joffrey here. There's no Tyrion yet, but nope. I do enjoy these characters, and I do find it strange indeed. It's not a knock on the show, but just that I would think that maybe Allison and Viserys would be a little bit smarter about preserving their power.
I'm with you. Listeners, what do you think? What do you think about those characters? On YouTube, you go down there, you write the comments, we respond to every comment. On Twitter, at DoublePHQ, let us know what you think. You can still answer all these hilarious match games, including match game number 3. Are you ready, Catfish? We are going back to the brothel.
The brothel.
After Daemon and Rhaenyra's first trip to the brothel, their next family outing will be to the blank. After Daemon and Rhaenyra's first trip to the brothel, their next family outing will be to the
heroin den to share a needle.
What a fun night out.
Although I guess theoretically they would be smoking it, but there we go.
Heck yeah. Oh my goodness, that is terrible. When in King's Landing, right?
Yeah, hey.
Stays at King's Landing.
All night. All night. All night long. All right, Bubba, I'll read it and you give me your answer. After Daemon and Rhaenyra's first trip to the brothel, their next family outing will be to the
closest state without a Republican governor.
Oh, I love what you did there. All right, let's go look to our listeners.
Okay, listeners, we always come to you for your answers. So let's see. I have a feeling we're going to have some more tasteless responses.
You coming mean up. Matching your response. Probably,
okay, here
response.
We go. Yes? Okay, so after Daemon and Rhaenyra's first trip to the brothel, their next family outing will be to
Planned Parenthood. Hey, that's ring the bell. Ring the bell. Ring the bell. That is Patman 23, Pat Spinagle.
Oh, yeah.
Alrighty. Oh, hell yeah.
Read this next answer, Catfish. After Daemon and Rhaenyra's first trip to the brothel, their next family outing will be to the
free clinic.
Oh, that's good.
That's that? Corey Bramlett at TCBPOV.
Heck yeah. All righty.
Oh, man. All right. Bubba, I'm so jealous you get to read this next one. Here we go. One. After David and Renee's first trip to the brothel, their next family outing will be to
the Jerry Springer Show.
That's Nick Fortune, Fortuna at Nicholas Fortuna. So good.
Oh, my goodness. We got one from Jack Klompas. Get ready. After Damon and Renera's first trip to the brothel, their next family outing will be to the
Quadruple I. The Eminence Institute for Incestuous Initiatives. I couldn't say it. So good at BT 11. Holy cow.
Oh, okay.
Right, we got one more here. Okay, I'll read it one more here. We got after Damon and Renee's first trip to the brothel, their next outing, family outing will be to the
T-Maester's house.
Oh.
That's our good friend Double M, who hosts Before the Dragon podcast at Before the Dragon Pod on Twitter. So good.
My God. All right. We got one more. All right.
After Damon and Renera's first trip to the brothel, their next family outing will be to the
Damon's Eye of the Dragon.
Terrible. Is that what I think? Terrible.
Oh, no.
Who's that from?
That is from our good friend. Horrible Dooley's left leg.
Listeners, once again, we love these. We came up with this silly game, and we love it when you guys play along, and we're going to be looking at your answers all this week. And at the end of this podcast, we're going to read some of the answers we got over the last week to last week's match game answers. All brilliant.
Holy cow. So
now,
good.
Catfish, mm-hmm. It's time. Yeah. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Enter the small council where you must debate the questions of the day. Today's first question is, has Otto Hightower overplayed his...
Wait for it.
...hand? Counselor Catfish, what do you think?
Your Honor.
Yes?
Otto Hightower has been operating right next to the king, and therefore has had... to be a little bit close-vested to what he has to do. He's had to be real subtle with his moves. You know, he's got connections, Yana. He's mm-hmm. got a brother. He's got connections he's sending little birds to. So he's been a little bit restrained in what he's able to do. But now, he can operate freely, Yana. Not only, I still have to mention, he's the grandfather to the boy who is the most popular choice to be the next king. So, Yana, even though he may have been successful being the hand, and maybe should not have been kicked out from being the hand, mm-hmm. Yana, I think he still wields a lot of power and can be even more dastardly now than he was before.
Argument heard. Counselor Bubba, what is your thought? I think he did. And I think what's funny is he didn't have a choice. If to do your job correctly, you have to upset the king, I think you got to upset the king. I think you don't have a choice. I think this is news that the king needs to hear. Just because his spies heard it and caught it doesn't mean other people's spies didn't hear it and catch it, right? And so you've got to tell him. But by telling him, you are doing it. Now, is there a way, call me crazy, and I don't know if this is true or not, but is there a way that you could possibly have somebody else tell him? Catfish, you said the point of this show is that don't be the bearer of bad news. Is there a way that he could have found out this news and then just forced somebody else to tell the king? Oh, I don't know how you do it, but
well,
I think
Yana,
that would...
I think you could. You could.
You're interrupting Counselor Bubba.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you call us. He says what he could have done. He says he could have brought it to the small council mm-hmm. and talked about it on the small council. He could have fed it to somebody else on the small council. who is in favor of somebody else other than Rhaenyra.
Right. Yeah. So he overplayed his hand by telling the king. Bubba's point is proven. Thank you.
Yana, whoa, what happened, Yana? I just got bamboozled.
Excellent bamboozling. way to get the other counselor to argue your argument. Well, how about this? Is there any way, Your Honor, since Catfish is using my argument, is there any way that he didn't overplay his hand? He didn't really clap back to the king and say, hey, don't you talk bad about my daughter by saying, you know, by saying these terrible things about her.
No, you know, that's why I said he did not overplay his hand. He said, I have to bring these things to you. And then he resigned peacefully. Also, very important, he did not get stabbed with his little hand of the king pin.
Before I render my verdict, counselors, was the king right in firing Otto Hightower? Counselor Catfish first.
No, Your Honor. No, Your Honor. I don't think he was right. And because, you know, it is the hand of the king's job to bring this information to the king. The fact that
yes.
he wouldn't sell out a ragamuffin or whatever, that is questionable judgment. If the king tells you who told you this information, you tell him who.
Amen. Amen. Whoops, now I'm agreeing with Counselor Catfish. Counselor Catfish wins. Next case. Wait a minute, Your Honor. That's not fair.
I feel like I was voting for him and then he was voting for me. I don't know what's going on, Your Honor.
Our next case. Is Prince Daemon still a favorite character of the realm? Counselor Catfish, you go first this time as well. Is Prince Daemon still the favorite character of the realm?
Your Honor, he yes. is no longer my favorite character in the realm. It is Rhaenyra. Now, he was full of so much fun and guile and chicanery in the yes. pilot. But, you know, to use Counselor Bubba's own words against him.
Here we go again.
He has been a real sourpuss ever since the pilot. He's been a real sourpuss. And he doesn't seem to have very good plans, Yana. I mean, his best plan was, I'm going to hope that these 300 archers miss me. And his next plan was, let's hit on my niece, but then not seal the deal and then be dragging drunkenly into the king's chambers. Yana, I thought he was going to be not only a crazy, wild character, fun character, he was going to be swinging his sword and swinging his big D around. But mm-hmm. he's lost a lot of his oomph, Yana. And I say Rhaenyra is now my favorite.
The maesters have some tea for that problem he suffered. Counselor Bubba, Your Honor, I said for the longest time about that pilot, because we got to see it a month early, the first episode of House of the Dragon, that Daemon, when he was on screen, it popped. And so while he may not be a favorite character, I still think the show pops when he's on screen more consistently than it does for any other character. I want to like Kristen Cole, but I still can't even know him. I kind of want to like Allison, but I don't really know her. I want to even defend Otto at times, like our buddy Patman23 on Twitter wrote a great article defending Otto Hightower on the great site Watchers on the Wall. So listeners, go check that out. But I just don't know him well enough. And because I don't know him well enough, unless they do something wonderfully sweet like Princess Rhaenyra has done a couple of times, or wonderfully evil, like Otto has kind of done a couple of times, I don't think the show pops. And because I want characters that pop, that crackle, that mm-hmm. snap. That's right. Snap, crackle, pop. That's a reference for you old timers. I think Prince Daemon is still a favorite character. And even though he drives me crazy, right now I'm going to keep Prince Daemon as my favorite character. Cross-examine Counselor Catfish.
Well, Your Honor, I don't even know how to address this foolishness. I mean, we don't even know what he wants to do. He had a major plan. He seemed to get busted on it. Now he's just wandering around, getting drunk, flirting, but not sealing the deal, Your Honor. You got to seal the deal. So I don't even know what his plan is anymore. He seems kind of lost and bereft. And not that, Your Honor, when we have these kind of braggadocious, fun characters, we want to go on a ride with them. And it feels like his ride already ended. It was like a ride you pay two tickets for, Your Honor. He went around once and got off, and now he's a sad little boy who lost his balloon.
Your Honor, I would like to rebut what Catfish has said. Make it quick. All right, what I would like to say is we like characters who we can relate to, right? We like characters who we can relate to. And what did Prince Damon do in this episode? He disappointed many women. I relate to that so much.
Defense rests.
Listeners, who cares what these two knuckleheads say? We want to know what you think. Is Prince Damon still a favorite character of the realm? At Double PHQ or YouTube, write those comments. Third case. And the third case is a very serious case. Mm-hmm. Is there a worse uncle-niece field trip than going to a brothel? A worse field trip than the brothel, the pleasure den, the house of sin?
Your Honor, I'm going to make this very simple. No.
Yes.
No, Your Honor. No. Maybe this is sexism rearing my head. I think it's inappropriate
for
an uncle to bring their underage nephew to a brothel. But if it's an underage niece, it's even worse, Your Honor. What's worse than that? Getting so carried away that you forget and you start macking on your relative, Your Honor. That is the worst.
Your Honor, I have a completely different take. So the question you asked us, Your Honor, is there a worse uncle-niece field trip, place to go, than a brothel? I think there is a much worse place, Your Honor.
All right, get to it, Counselor Bubba. Counselor Bubba has appeared to be frozen. With his mouth still open. Counselor Bubba.
Hold on.
Summary judgment.
How come I can't remember the name of this place? This is pissing me off so much.
Disneyland.
It's close. Hold on, it's close.
Wait, is that the one we went to? Remember the one?
Yeah, that's Googling it right now. I can't remember. Oh, curses. I can't remember. Catfish wins. What's the name of that place in Vegas? Oh, it's so terrible.
Oh, no. I thought you were talking about the place when we went to the Museum of Atrocities or whatever it was.
Oh, no. That was good. The park. Hold on.
In Vegas?
What was the name of that show with the little guys? Remember it? I made us get a picture with them, like the doofs. Hold on.
You think they're still going on?
Okay, no, I know, but that's what I was thinking of, because that has to be worse. All right, hold on. Okay, hold on. You ready, Your Honor? Here we go. Catfish, ask the question. Your Honor.
Yeah.
You asked us the question, is there a worse uncle-niece field trip than going to a brothel?
Yes,
and so, Your Honor, there is. Knott's Berry Farm.
Wow.
Shots fired. Yeah.
Just due to the disappointment that it's not actually Disneyland, Counselor Bubba?
I love Snoopy, but they need more roller coasters. No, I don't know. Okay, let's edit this whole thing.
Okay.
Edit all my answer out. Oh, my goodness. Who cares what we think? We want to know. Hey, can you guys think? This should have been a match game question, too. Can you think of a worse place to bring a uncle and a niece to go on a field trip?
The people did answer it by saying where they would go afterwards.
Oh, that's true. So, hey, we love your feedback. Let's have some more fun because we're being so silly. Let's review some of the listener answers to last week's match game questions. You ready, Catfish?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. So, the crab feeder's fate at the end of that episode 3 can best be described as
clawful.
That's pretty good, huh? That's pretty good. That's from Jeff at Jeff Perro.
Yeah, J-E-P-H-P-E-R-R-O. That is awesome. Clawful.
Oh, so good. The crab feeder's fate at the end of this episode can best be described as
grayscale experimentation.
Oh, does a sword cut through rock? That's from our good buddy Double M at Before the Dragon Pod. Okay, you read it for me. I'll read a couple of these. They're so good. So good.
All right. The crab feeder's fate at the end of this episode can be described as
Double D.
Double D.
Dragon. Dragging.
Oh.
I get it? That's pretty good. That's Endless Mike 03 on Twitter. All right. The crab feeder's fate at the end of this episode can best be described as
Baked crab cakes.
Oh, terrible.
Oh, man. That is so good. That is at Revere Terry. Okay, here we go. The crab feeder's fate at this episode can be described as
Top heavy. At Mando Tori on Twitter. And the last one, the crab feeder's fate at the end of this episode can best be described as deshelled.
Oh, at likely, that's so good.
All right, here's some more. I mean, you guys are so good. King Viserys is so drunk.
How drunk is he?
He's so drunk, he told Alicent, many of my lines have been dragon riders. Very few among us have been.
Nice.
That's actually
it's kind of appropriate.
Right, it's actually accurate. That's at Hamlet is dead on Twitter. Many in my line have been dragon riders. Very few among us have been able. Oh, that's terrible. Double M.
Wow.
I think you think so. Okay. Many in my He's line able. Have been dragon riders. Very few among us have been
pulled over for double R.
Wait, double R?
Yeah, riding while ripped.
Who is that from?
That's at Revere Terry, Terrence Revere. So good.
Oh, this next one. I can already see the answer. It's terrible. Many in my line have been dragon riders. Very few among us have been
bedwetters.
Poor Prince Aegon. That's tough.
Oh, man.
Oh, and one more. Here we go. He was so drunk, he told Alicent, many in my line have been dragon riders. Very few among us have been
platonic relatives. That's Camille at Harley. Camille, so good.
All right, we got three answers for our final one from last week. If Jason Lannister was on The Bachelorette, he wouldn't get a rose. He'd get a
Double D.
Double D.
Dragon dump.
No.
Get it? Dumped by a dragon, but also dragon dump.
Yeah, I went the latter way in thinking. All right, if Jason Lannister was on The Bachelorette, he wouldn't get a rose. He'd get a
Red smile. Oh, shit.
Oh, hey. Call back to his grace from at Mando Tori.
I love it. I love it. Okay, if Jason Lannister was on The Bachelorette, he wouldn't get a rose. He'd get a
glass of honey wine backwash. Oh, they do drink a lot on The Bachelorette. Thank you at Double M Musical Concept.
Holy cow.
Hey, let's get to your feedback.
All right. It's on YouTube. Brian Mutua. I'm just mutilating your name. I'm sorry. M-U-T-U-A. Just came across your channel. That Joffrey intro is brilliant. Live traffic.
Thank you so much.
Emoji. So good. And
from on
Terry
Twitter.
Revere, at Revere Terry says, Bub and Catfish are from Crab Feeder Haggis for their low scores this week.
Ouch.
Oh, man, I hadn't even read that when I went where Haggis is on my mind.
It is. Well, yeah, that's weird that you hadn't read that one. Okay. Our good buddy, DJ Tim Hines. Look him up if you love some great dance music. It's Tim with two M's. Tim Hines on Twitter, Instagram, probably a million things. Tim loved episode 3, and he said he loved our coverage. Joffrey would be very proud. Oh, thank you, DJ Tim Hines.
Awesome. All right. Ronald Pollock says, the 6 of the 7 kingdoms were conquered by Aegon I. The High Towers were in Westeros long before Aegon arrived.
That's correct.
Look at it as an occupation.
Hmm.
This is politics, which is taking control of the government from within if you don't have the superior military.
Okay.
Like Alicent, as someone who wants to make everyone happy, except her father's ambition is the pressure where she picks at her nails.
Oh.
That's some very interesting feedback on Alicent. We're questioning her last week. We're talking more about her this week, so that is great.
Thank you, Ronald. And let me ask you this, Catfish. Am I wrong? Did we not see Allison picking at her nails? I didn't notice her picking at them in this episode. We did have that shot of her laying in the bed. I wonder if she was doing it then.
I think she was picking at some scabs, not hers.
Oh, hey, our good buddy at Likely Seth on Twitter asked us an honest question.
Yeah.
You all and many suggest that the dragon needs to hear the command Dracarys to breathe fire. And Seth says, I counter, it may be a form of something like warging. There's been two examples, meaning Daenerys and in the first show, and now in this show, you've seen Daemon and I think it was Lenor Valerian saying Dracarys. Daemon was hit with an arrow and his dragon reacts in pain without seeing. Ooh, I didn't notice that. That's interesting, Seth. Did you notice that last week? I didn't notice.
That's awesome.
No, that's very good. We also got this feedback from at Patman23. What do you think, Catfish?
All right. Oh, I finally got to hear at CJGman67. That's me, Bubba.
Oh, that is.
Bringing the fire on me like Daemon on the Triarchy. I appreciate the shout out. And also Catfish's plans to retreat into a cave, not unlike the crab feeder. When the House of the Dragon credits run.
Oh, man, yeah.
Just wait until he misses the bloodstreams forming the words, helmet off, in support of his viewpoints. But I'll never see that happening. Patman makes an allusion to the Mandalorian podcast. I love it.
Thank you so much. Now, likely Seth, I want to go back to him for a minute. He was, saying maybe the dragon really doesn't need to hear the words. It's like they, if you remember in those early seasons of Game of Thrones, the direwolves, they would react. They would know. Like when Bran was in trouble, the direwolf came and saved Bran. When Arya was in trouble, the direwolf came. And so there was a connection that may not have been warging, maybe, likely, Seth. And so a lot of people on our Twitter feed have been going back and forth if it's a form of warging. And so, hey, if you have questions, give them to us. We want to know.
Now, Bubba, I don't think we've mentioned it yet, but anybody who leaves us comments, who answers the match game question, or leaves us reviews on Apple gets entered into our big giveaway at the end of the season. We give away super cool stuff. And Bubba, we have been getting some reviews, recent reviews, when our begging, please unsubscribe, resubscribe, leave reviews on Apple Podcasts. We've got a few new reviews that I think we should read.
All righty, let's get to it. The first review is from a true Double L loyal listener, Endless Mike 03, who gave us 5 stars. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Even though Joffrey isn't in House of the Dragon yet, the boys are back with this great podcast. Thank you so much, Mike. We need these reviews. Ooh.
We should have said spoiler alert for Joffrey coming back. Harley Shea, also a great longtime listener, says, fun review show. 5 stars. Yep. These guys do a lighthearted, fun take on the House of Dragons series. It is fun to interact with their quizzes and questions on Twitter also. They might even read your answer on the podcast. Heck yeah.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah. Now, this is a true Double L loyal listener. The Uncle Q gave us a recent review. Thank you so much. They wrote, Joffrey is still the best blondie. Heck yeah. House of Targs, wish this was the House of Joffreys.
Yes.
Bubba and Catfish are simply the best to have put their mouth to Mike.
Yes.
They got great double M's. Mike mouths.
Yes.
Much love, guys. Thanks for all the great listening. Oh, thank you. Uncle Keith.
And we have the Caradox.
Ooh.
5 stars. The title is my favorite Game of Thrones World podcast.
Ooh, thank you.
Love you. It says, if you're into weird niche and sometimes stupid humor, these guys are hilarious and
sometimes
completely underrated. Didn't realize how much I missed them until I couldn't stop laughing during their first episode cover of House of Dragons. Give these guys the attention they deserve. And double A's across the board acclaim.
Heck yeah. Oh my goodness. I was going to say sometimes stupid humor.
Yeah, I know.
It was like 24/7. And we got one final brand new review. 5 stars. Thank you so much from somebody, MPapa4 on Apple Podcasts, that wrote longtime double L.
Yes. What's double L?
We'll never know. They wrote, this is the first podcast I ever subscribed to back in 2013.
Oh, whoa. Man, that is awesome.
These guys always put on a good show and have an innate ability to squeeze every bit of content they can out of a TV show and its lead-up trailers. Now, we didn't do the frame-by-frame. We apologize for that. They create new and original ways to approach the books and TV shows, and it's always fun to see what they come up with. Keep it up. Looking forward to season 7. Heck yeah. And House of the Dragon, so glad to have you guys back. Oh, awesome, man.
Awesome. Thank you so much. We appreciate that from our Double L loyal listeners. Oh, my God. We are going to be giving away such good stuff on the coming weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Bubba, we have got 6 episodes left of this.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Andor, House of the yep. Wookiee coming up.
We
the
do.
Magpie Murders. We've got a whole bunch of stuff coming up. We want you to listen to us. We're going to have so much fun on those episodes. We love that you join us for this and for the Brilliant Match Game. You guys are the best.
They
it
are.
It proves that we have the smartest and most good-looking listeners.
Heck yeah. My name's Bubba. You can reach out and tell me how stupid this humor is on Twitter directly to me at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim at Fit and Trim on Twitter.
And my name is Catfish. You can hit me up at CJGman67 on Twitter and G to the man, GEETOTHEMAN on Instagram. And please, yeah, reach out to me and tell me how dumb I am because I love it.
We do.
And we'll talk to you next week on
the Joffrey Podcast.
A brothel edition.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. One of these days, I'm going to come up with an answer as funny as these listeners. One of days, I'm going to do it.
Upsetting.
I'm telling mother.